Welcome to the Grace Chapel Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you're encouraged and built up in your faith as we dive into God's Word together. Enjoy the message.
Would you take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 17. We're going to start a new series today called Made for More. Made for More. I remember hearing this story years ago. This story always impacted me about a man who would get up early. He would go out into a field and he would work all day so that he would have enough money at the end of the day to buy some beans so that he could eat the beans so that he'd have enough strength to get up in the mornings, go out and work all day so that he could make some money to buy some beans so that he'd eat the beans to have enough strength to get up in the morning to go out and work all day so that he'd have enough money to go buy beans. And you see how this is going, right? And for most of us, it's not beans, it's cars, it's hobbies, it's careers, it's businesses, but it's still the same cycle. It's the 9 to 5, and we go through the life, and all of a sudden, we're living for the next vacation, the next post, the next whatever it is that we do, and we're trying to buy whatever we're trying to buy, trying to save and get the nest egg and the house. And all these things just become so repetitious and become so mundane. And you have to think to yourself, there must be more. There must be more to life. There's got to be more than 9 to 5. There has to be more than just careers. There has to be more than just great vacations. And I'm not against vacations, right? Take a great vacation and buy toys. If you've worked hard and you've saved your money, listen, there's nothing wrong with enjoying stuff. But understand this, that life is not about stuff. And whether it's beans or whether it's expensive cars, whatever it is, you understand this. You can't get on this treadmill of life. Because I know this, as I begin to look at middle age and head that way. You understand? Like I'm just getting there. I want you to know this. Life goes quickly. And at some point, you have to stop and go, hey, is this what God has called me to do? Am I making my life count for something, or is there more? So as we do this series called Made for More, I really want to start by focusing in on that first word. Because you can't get to the more unless you understand the made. Right, did you hear me, church? You can't get to the more. You can't get to why I'm here. You can't get to my purpose unless you first understand that I was made by God, right? So in Acts chapter 17, Paul, what's this? Paul is traveling and he's preaching. And he first goes into a town called Thessalonica. And the first thing Paul would do when he'd go into a town, he'd go right into the synagogue. Paul was called to reach the Jewish culture. And so he'd go into the synagogue and he'd begin to preach Christ. He didn't preach God, because he was preaching to the Jewish culture who knew God. But he preached Christ to them. And he was preaching in Thessalonica, and some people got converted, but some people also got angry. And so there was a big riot, and then Paul left that town to go another town. So then he goes to the next town of Berea, and he does the same thing. He goes right into the synagogue and begins to preach. And in this town, they were a little more receptive. And so people get converted and begin to follow him, become disciples. But the people from the last town begin to follow Paul, and they begin to stir up the people of this town. So then Paul heads to another town called Athens. And he goes into Greece, and he comes to the city of Athens. And the Bible says that when he walks into the city of Athens, he sees all these Greek gods, all these mythological creatures. And the Bible says he's actually provoked in his heart because he sees one statue that says this, to the unknown God. Right? In other words, they had all these gods, and then they had a statue that said to the unknown God, in case we missed the other gods, right? In case we missed anybody, this is going to be the one. And they would put tributes down at the feet of these gods. They'd bring food and flowers, and much of that still happens today around the world. So Paul begins to preach to them. In fact, they actually brought him up to a hill to this place where they would go have debates and they would have lectures. They'd even have trials. It was called the Areopagus. And so he would go up here to this place and begin to preach. And so in Acts chapter 17, verse 22, we pick up Paul's message. And here's what he says. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshiped with men's hands." In other words, he doesn't need anything, right? He doesn't need your flowers. He doesn't need your fruit. "As though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood," that's speaking of Adam, "from one person, from one blood, every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him," in other words, to grasp for him, to reach for him, "and to find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being." Let's stop right there. In him we live and move and have our being. The Passion Translation of this says, "In him we find our identity." We find our identity. It's interesting that Paul would go into the synagogues and he would preach Christ. But when he comes to Greece and he comes to Athens, he doesn't preach Christ. He goes all the way back to the beginning and begins to start at creation, because it's the starting point for all of us. And if we want to find our purpose in life, if we want to find out why we're here when we're here, why were you put on this earth at this moment in time? Why did God make you for this time of life? You have to go all the way back to creation and first settle this. I was made by God's hands. Amen? Paul doesn't try to justify God. He doesn't apologize for God. He just said God is. I was watching this pastor on YouTube, and it really disturbed me what he said. He was what you call a celebrity pastor. Those two words should never go together. It's like reproductive health care. Anyway, moving right along. So he's preaching, and I actually want to put on the screen exactly what he says, and watch the danger. Watch the danger of what is being taught and what is being said now. Here's Pastor Michael Todd from Transformation Church. I hesitate to call him a pastor. But he said this: God decided. He's preaching on the kingdom. And he said, God decided male and female. And if I was there, maybe I would have told him, is there something in the middle you could do, like kind of a little maybe, if somebody was like, why was I born like this? I don't know. I feel you. And I wish there was another option of other in the kingdom. I wish God would have made it so much simpler, like A, B, C, or D. And here's the danger. Now listen, I listened to this whole message. And I can tell you this. I appreciate his compassion. He's trying to speak to a community that the church has really not had a lot of compassion towards. And can I just say, we need to have more compassion. We need to be more loving. We need to be less judgmental. Can I get a good amen from somebody? But here's the danger. When you begin to apologize for God, when you begin to say, if I was God, I would have done it differently. But God just did it the way he did it. And I'm so sorry that he did it that way. It's dangerous territory. It really is. Because God doesn't need you to justify him. And he doesn't need you to apologize for him. He is God. And he could do whatever he wants to do. And he created it the way he created it. And it kind of reminds me of this conversation between God and Job in the Bible. Job was actually complaining, right? And I know nobody here does that, but other people in other churches struggle with that. And here's Job having this conversation with God. And in Job 38, verse 2, it says this. Here's what God says. Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Come on now. Tell me if you know so much. And then all of chapter 38, all of chapter 39, God is like, where were you? Where were you when I did this? Where were you when I spoke and everything that you see and everything that you know came into existence? Where were you? In other words, God is saying, don't question me. Don't try to justify me. And please don't apologize for me. Do you hear me now? And don't blame me. Right? I just want you to tell people who I am. Just proclaim the truth of who I am. And then watch this. At the end of that whole conversation in Job chapter 40, verse 2, God says this. Do you still want to argue with the Almighty? You are God's critics, but do you have the answers? Verse 3 says, then Job replied to the Lord, I am nothing. How could I ever find the answers? I will cover my mouth with my hand. I have said too much already. I have nothing more to say. Woo, come on now. That's good advice. Come on, turn to your neighbor. Say, he's talking to you right now. I have said too much already. I have nothing more to say. All right? There's this false gospel that is being perpetrated, and it starts with this false understanding of who we are, right? That we actually are more than what we think we are. We start with this. Here's the false gospel. This is who I am, and this is how I feel. Therefore, God is here to please me. This is who I am, and this is how I feel. So therefore, God is here to please me. When the true gospel is actually the exact opposite. The true gospel is this. This is who God is. And this is how God feels, and we are here to please God. Amen? That's the true gospel of Jesus Christ. So we start by understanding who God is. And listen to me, church. Listen to me very clearly. Your identity and your purpose always starts with an understanding of who God is. Our identity, our purpose starts. It doesn't end. It begins. It starts with an understanding of who God is. A.W. Tozer said it like this. What you think about when you think about God is the most important thing about you. Now I want to say that again. This is from his book, The Knowledge of the Holy. What you think about when you think about God. In other words, when God comes to your mind, what you think about God is the most important thing about you. Huh? What you think about when you think about God. Not your bank account, not your skill set, not your past, not your present, not your future. The most important thing about you is what you think about God. What you think about God. And some people have a really warped sense of God. Even Christians who've been in church, come to church, served God, love God, worship God, sometimes they have a real bend on what God they think God is like. So I want to give you some thoughts of what some people think God is like. First of all, some people think God is the old man upstairs. He's the old man upstairs, God. Listen, not just the man upstairs, God, the old man upstairs, God. This God is nice and loving, and he shows up at every soccer game and birthday party. He can't really relate to what you're going through. He's from another generation, and he's not up to date on the latest technology and issues of today. He moves really slow. Anybody ever say that? God, you're moving too slow. Right? And he's sort of hard of hearing, so you have to yell to get his attention. Right? Now, you may say, well, I don't believe all of that, but if you believe any of it, if there's even a little bit of that in you, we got to check ourselves. The second God is this, umpire God. Umpire God is in heaven, and he is always watching and always keeping score. If you're lucky and you work hard enough, you'll be ahead at the end of the game, and you may even pull out a win. Woo, come on now. He is all about rules and regulation, do's and don'ts. And if you swing and miss, you're going to hear these famous words. Strike three, you're out. Here's another God. Are you ready for this one? The force be with you, God. The force be with you, God, moves in mysterious ways. He has no personality, so you can't ever really know him. He is cosmic energy, a guiding light, a warm, fuzzy feeling. He is distant and elusive, and only a select chosen few spiritual Jedi can ever harness his power. How about this God? Some of you met this God before. Irate God. That's the God I grew up with. Irate God is angry all the time. One wrong step, boom, he lays down the hammer. He's just waiting for you to step out of line, and you'll feel the consequences of your actions. Bad thought, said or did something you shouldn't have, hang your head in shame and get ready. Punishment is coming your way. Come on now. How many of you grew up in a church that had an irate God? The other God is this, the genie in the bottle God. The genie in the bottle God is fun because he lives to meet your needs. From the moment you wake up until you go to sleep, he is at your service. Need a parking spot at the mall? Christmas? Poof. Directions because you're lost? Bam. Boyfriend or girlfriend? Wham. And the good news is this. As soon as your needs are met, off he goes back into the bottle until you need something else. Or hopefully, prayerfully, this is your God. Are you ready? Creator God. Creator God made us by his divine hand, and it is in him that we live and move and find our identity. And listen, you are the apple of his eye. He is all loving, all knowing, all powerful, and he never changes. Creator God doesn't want you to justify him or apologize for him. Just proclaim his truth to a lost and dying world. He is the God of the Bible, and human words fall short to describe how awesome he is. Come on now. Can I get a good amen? That's our Creator God. And if you nail one thing down, nail this. You were made by God's own hand. You're not the product of some assembly line. Come on now. Do you know how hard it is to believe evolution? Think about how hard it must be to believe in evolution. You have to believe that two rocks got off course. They were playing chicken one day and they just ended up colliding. And all of a sudden, listen, things begin to spin, right? Things begin to just all of a sudden move, and then everything you see and everything you know exists. Come on, man. How is that possible? That happened, they say, billions of years ago, and it's never happened since. Listen, that's impossible. You were made by God's own hands. You are the product of an intelligent being who created you and formed you. Listen, before you were ever born, God designed the blueprint of your life. God put your life together. That's why abortion is so egregious. It is the murder of an innocent life, a life that God creates. And you have to know that you were created for a purpose and for a reason. You have to know that God put you on this earth when he put you for a reason. There is destiny on the inside of you. Don't think that you are random. Don't think that your life doesn't matter. Your life counts. You were created to do something unique, something special that nobody else was created to do. God made you for a reason. You're unique in so many ways. Listen to how there's nothing like you. There's nothing like your voice print. There's nothing like your fingerprint. Did you know there's nothing like your teeth? There's nothing like your toe print. Do you know that your eyes are unique? Not just both of them. Each one is unique from the other. Nothing in the world. There's no other eye print like yours. But did you know this, that your ears are also unique? Do you know that researchers right now, and they're putting technology together, instead of face ID, you're going to have ear ID? That you're going to be able to lift your phone to your ear, and your ear is going to be able to unlock your phone. You heard it here first. Listen. Breaking news. That's a true story. They're really working on that as we speak. Why? Because there's nothing like you. Your tongue print is unique in every way. When God made you, He said, I'll never do that again. Come on now. I'll never do it again. There's nobody like you on earth, never has been anybody like you, and never will be anybody like you. You were created by God, and you have to nail that down. And before you can get to the more, you have to understand you were made. Somebody say amen. You were made by God's own hand, and He put purpose inside of you. Hallelujah. You are not random. You were born an original. Do not die a copy. You were born unique in every way. Amen. In fact, let me read some scriptures to you. Psalms 139 verse 14 says this, I will praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully. Come on, say made. Made marvelous all your works, and that my soul knows very well. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 6 says, but for us there is one God the Father, by whom all things were created and for whom we live. We were created by Him. And we were created for Him. Amen. We were created by Him, and we were created for Him. You were created by Him. You were made by Him. But then also know this, you were created for Him. That's the more. That's the more. And I don't know what your purpose is. It'd be nice if I could just tell you exactly why you were here. This is your assignment. This is what God called you to do. Hey, you're called to do this. You're called to be that. Listen, it would be that easy. But you have to go to God for that. You have to get that from your Creator. And the tragedy of life is succeeding at things that don't really matter. If we succeed at things that just don't matter, if we get the big house, and we get the car, and we get the career, and we have the nest egg, and we have all the things that label us a success, but we miss our calling, we miss our purpose, what have we really succeeded in life about? And I'm not against stuff. I'm not against enjoying the fruit of your labor. Take great vacations, live in the best house you can afford, and buy the best car you could drive. I have nothing wrong with that. It's called a Porsche 911, and if you could get one, great. Just so you know, in case you were confused. All right? But you know, at the end of the day, that's just the beans that get us from one place to another, right? At the end of the day, that really isn't what matters. What matters is if you could sit down at a coffee table, and when your marriage has been to hell and back, you could look somebody in the eye and say, hey, I was there. I was there. Our marriage was falling apart. Don't you give up. Don't you give in. And you could look at somebody who's about to leave their spouse, and because God uses you, all of a sudden their marriage gets rescued. And their life gets put back together. And those kids don't have to have two Christmases and two sets of moms and dads. You understand? That's what matters in life. If you could say to somebody who is broken and has made huge mistakes and failures and is bound up, and you could say, hey, I was there. I was bound up. I was addicted. But God set me free. And what He did for me, He could do for you. That's what matters in life. If you can walk into a nursery and see a couple kids, and you could say, hey, you know what my pastor said? My pastor said we were created. Here's what the Word of God says, that we were made by God's own hand. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And as they grow up, that seed that you planted in their heart, when this ungodly world tries to tell them that they could change their identity or be something that God didn't create them to be, listen, they will have that seed of truth planted in their hearts that tells them, no, this is true and this is a lie. And listen, that seed will forever change their life. That's what matters in life. If we can fulfill our God-given purpose, amen? But it has to start with the God part. It has to start with understanding we were created. Amen? Church, would you do this with me today? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?
Thanks for joining us. And thank you to our Grace family who have been generously giving in to this ministry. For more information about our church, please visit gogracechapel.com and give us a follow on Facebook or Instagram with the same handle @GoGraceChapel. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.